We welcome you to this day of celebration in the context of worship when we honor some friends whose deposit in this place is beyond any mere man's words to measure, but only time and God Himself shall be able to bear the fruitage. And we're grateful. Let's pray together. Almighty God, our Father, we gather today to measure ministries, which after all are no more nor no less than the measure of persons. Somehow we know that in the process of this worship, we shall each one come right up against the dimensions of our own lives. How dost thou measure a man, O Lord? Surely not in feet tall, nor inches girth, not in years lived, nor treasures accumulated. Our hearts tell us rather that thy measurements are not always our measurements, any more than thy thoughts are our thoughts. If truth be truth, then it is thine before it is ours, and a big man will be true to it, even while smaller persons round him handle it carelessly. What a man is for and what a man is against, how much of himself he keeps and how much he gives away, what a man loves and what there is left of him after he's loved it, these are the mysteries by which our lives are plumbed, O Lord. So we gather to worship thee and to honor thy servants, Leo Green, Garland Hendricks, Theodore Adams, knowing that there's enough bad in the best of us and enough good in the worst of us to behoove none of us to discuss the rest of us apart from thine image, O God, which we were created, redeemed, and called to bear in the strong, sturdy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Yahweh, the God of our fathers, make you 1,000 times as many as you are. With this amazing wish, the ancient writer of Deuteronomy begins his narrative. Well, actually, it's more than just a wish. It's a clear conviction of this recorder that keeping the laws of God actually multiplies a human life 1,000 times over. Now there's dynamite in that truth. Listen to Carl Sandburg. If I had 1,000,000 lives to live and 1,000,000 deaths to die, I'd like to change my name and have a new house number to go by each and every time I died and started life all over again. I wouldn't want the same name every time, or to live at the same old number always, would you? If I had 1,000 lives to live, now that to me is an arresting possibility. Now you may think it's an insane possibility because it does demand pumping a lot of adrenaline into one old birth. But you could be wrong, because you see, one of the distinctive features of the human enterprise is our capacity to enter effectively into the experiences of others and thus to multiply our own lives many times over. You see, we mortals live our lives out on a very strange street. At one end of it, the hospital where we are born, at the other end of it, the hospital where we will die, and in between, the street of the rest of humanity. From each side of the street, many driveways open off, and houses representing other lives loom for us. The highest art, I think, of our living then consists in our being able to slip the keys of our existence into the locks of other existences and open the doors of those lives to us and our lives to them. That process opens up to us the whole spectrum of our species. To understand another human being, then, is in a sense to live that person's life along with your own. One of life's greatest blunders, I suppose, in this context, then, is for you and for me to live just one life when we could live 1,000 or 10,000. Several years ago, a woman died in Paris. Her dubious reputation was that she was Europe's best dressed woman. After her death, it was found that the chief item she left was her wardrobe. She had 1,000 dresses. Now, how in the world would you like to have to get up every morning and decide which one of 1,000 costumes you'd wear wherever you're going? But with those 1,000 dresses, alas, apparently she determined to live only one life in her dresses. With each frock, the same unseeing eye and the same unhearing ear and the same enameled, insensitive face. One life smothered by a wardrobe. Several years earlier than that, in the same land, there died another man who had only one suit of clothing to call his own. It was a blue suit with a red collar on the coat. His name was William Booth. He founded the Salvation Army. Just one costume, mind you, but here was a man who lived. Well, he must have lived 1,000,000 lives or more, because he entered imaginatively and creatively and redemptively into the lives of Europe's destitute. He took upon himself the loads which rested on 1,000 backs. He felt rarely and keenly the sharp edges of life which cut to the core so many persons around him. Thus, the option. The alternative which confronts each one of us today and every day is clearly said. Will our lives be lived in the singular or in the plural? I think the really big undertaking is to get out of the singular into the plural. Charles Gordon called it the sovereign duty of crawling into the other person's skin. Jesus Christ actually defined his salvation in these terms too, because he talked about saving life by losing it. Now this practice of saving life by losing it enables you and me to get out of a house lined with mirrors into one lined with windows. Because you see, damnation comes. Damnation surely comes from too many mirrors surrounding us, while our salvation rests through the windows which open our lives to our world and to every creature in it. Of course, living 1,000 lives cost terribly. Sandburg was right when he said, "He who lives more lives than one, more deaths than one must die." Today we're gathered in this context of worship to illustrate, to cherish, and to celebrate just how demanding and just how exciting it really can be to live more lives than one. We're about to present on behalf of the happy and grateful seminary family some enduring mementos, some portraits, which will represent the likenesses in our family forever, really, of some persons whose lives have been lived among us giant-sized. And I'm glad you're here, and that I'm here, and that together we can celebrate with each other and our friends this moment. May I present, for all time at this place, not a jersey of an athlete that's performed pretty well, but the portrait of a nobleman, the first of our kind, we Southeasterners, the only surviving member of the original faculty. And I've tried my dead level best not to make this an obituary. But James Leo Green is the distinguished professor of Hebrew and Old Testament at Southeastern and has been so since 1951 when our school doors opened. He was born in 1912 in New Albany, Mississippi. They got their fertilizer from Tupelo, and he went there to public schools. He earned an A.B. degree in Mississippi College and a Th.M. from Southern Seminary and then a Ph.D. from Southern in 1939. He married Ruth Huff, the daughter of attorney and Mrs. J. Knox Huff of Forest, Mississippi, and they have been the happy, proud parents of three children, James Leo Jr., born in 38, John Richard in 43, and Rebecca Lynn in 46. Dr. Green came to us with a pastor's heart. He had been the pastor of churches during his student days in Kentucky, and then in Florida at Pensacola First Baptist and Gainesville First Baptist. Then in addition to that, he'd been the instructor in Old Testament and Hebrew at Southern Seminary for 2 years, 37 to 39, and then joined the faculty full-time and was professor of Old Testament and Hebrew at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary from 39 to 48, where he served as the head of the department. He joined our faculty in 51 as a professor of Hebrew and Old Testament. Dr. Green has studied in some of the great universities of this country and the world, at Princeton and Oxford and Cambridge, University of North Carolina. He had the dubious distinction of being, maybe the dubious extinction of being, on the Board of Trustees, which elected him to the faculty. I've never asked Leo just how that was arranged, but anyway, he was on the Board of Trustees from 1950 to 51. His tenure was disrupted because he joined the faculty. He's traveled, he's spoken extensively in South America, the British Isles, Europe, Africa, and the Middle East. He's conducted revivals and religious emphasis weeks on just about every college and university campus in the country. Frequent participant in Bible conferences, assemblies, and evangelistic meetings. Dr. Green is an author. He has written The Voice of the Trumpet, Guidebook for the Study of Isaiah, God Reigns, Commentary on Jeremiah, the Broadman Bible Commentary, on Jeremiah and on Lamentations in the Teacher's Bible Commentary. He has a chapter in Resource Unlimited. He's contributed widely to denominational publications. James Leo Green, physically, may not be as regular around here as before, but in the spirit and in the impact, he shall be forever a son of this school. And I, as one who received the impact of his teaching early on as a student, am delighted now to present on behalf of a grateful community this portrait. Dr. Green, would you and Ruth stand for a moment? Maybe the finest picture of you I've ever seen. And that's very recent, by the way. Garland Alford Hendricks is professor of church community development and director of field work. Dr. Hendricks was born in North Carolina in Nash County in March of 1913. He attended Wake Forest, where he earned his BA, and then Southern Seminary with a THB in 1937. His alma mater, Wake Forest, honored him with a Doctor of Divinity degree in 1962. Dr. Hendricks met, fell in love, and married Estelle Dabbs from Columbia, South Carolina. And three children have been born and nurtured, nourished by their loving family. Mary Ada in 1939, and Frances Estelle in 1941, and Garland Cullum in 1945. Dr. Hendricks' parents were Mrs. Jamie Joyner Hendricks and the late Johnny Raymond Hendricks. They live their lives out, not many miles from this very campus in Nashville, North Carolina. Dr. Hendricks is also a teacher pastor who joined our faculty in the early years of Southeastern Seminary. He was a public school teacher in Nash County from 1933 to 1934. Then he joined the pastor's team at Elm Grove Macedonian Mount Olive Baptist Churches in Nash County, and then was the assistant pastor at the Buechel Baptist Church in Buechel, Kentucky, and then the pastor at Littleton and Enterprise and Vaughan and Gardner Baptist Churches in Warren County, North Carolina, before assuming the pastorate in 1940 of the Knightdale Baptist Church, not very far from this very place in Knightdale, North Carolina. Then, Dr. Hendricks became the pastor in 43 of the Olive Chapel Baptist Church at Apex, which was his last regular full-time pastorate, and for 7 years he served those people. Then he joined the teaching team at Gardner Webb College in Boiling Springs, North Carolina, where for 3 years he served as a professor of church community development. And he tells me with a kind of delight in his voice, a rising aspiration in his voice, that he was called there one day by Sidnor Staley to ask if he would be willing to come to Southeastern Seminary and begin the rubrics of a field education program for the first time in our school. So in 1953, he and Estelle and their family moved to Wake Forest. He assumed the task of professor of church community development, director of field work, and he has been on the job since that very day. Among the things that he, I think, would say he appreciates the privilege of doing the most is his association with the National and the North Carolina Grange. He's been the chaplain, significantly serving as chaplain of the Grange for a number of years in this state. Dr. Hendricks has performed many, many services for our denomination, general board and executive committee of the North Carolina Baptist State Convention for 2 years. He was designated by the Progressive Farmer in 1949 as the Rural Minister of the Year in America. Dr. Hendricks is also a prolific writer. He has written a biography of a country church, How to Plan the Work of Your Church, Call to the Country, Saints and Sinners at Jersey Settlement, and Appalachian Shepherd. On behalf of a very grateful community, I want to present for all time this likeness of our friend and co-laborer, Garland Alford Hendricks. And I would like, if you will, Garland and Estelle, to stand. That's a good picture, too. Theodore Floyd Adams has the dubious title of visiting professor of preaching. That's the longest visit in the history of this school. A decade. Dr. Adams is from New York, Palmyra, New York. He was born September 26, 1898. He did the best day's work he ever did when Esther Gilson Adams said, "I will." They have 3 children, and you would want me to say this, they had 9 grandchildren. He's done at least one of everything a Baptist can do, and he's done 2 and 3 of some of the things. And I'm going to simply recite some of this remarkable man's pilgrimage. A trustee at the University of Richmond who loves him. Trustee and honorary chairman of the board at Virginia Union University. Chairman of the board and trustees at Richmond Memorial Hospital. Member of the board of directors at Virginia Institute of Pastoral Care. A member of the Baptist Joint Committee on Public Affairs for numbers of years. A member of the board of directors of the Rockefeller Brothers Fund for Theological Education for 9 years. Vice president and member of the board of directors of CARE, which sends the packages for 15 years. Trustee of the Council on Religion and International Affairs for 19 years, 29 years. I can't even add these dates, 29 years. Moderator of the Richmond Baptist Association, president of the Baptist World Alliance, which makes him an international Christian, for 5 turbulent years, 1955 to 1960. President of the Virginia Baptist Children's Home for 14 years. Member of the Foreign Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention, 2 terms, 10 years the first term, 6 years the second term, 16 total years. Member of the Baptist World Alliance General Council and Executive Committee from 1934 till right now. Member of the Board of Promotion of the Ohio Baptist Convention for many, many years. President of the Ohio Baptist Young People's Union. Vice President of the Baptist Young People's Union of America. Pastor of the Cleveland Heights Baptist Church in Cleveland, Ohio from 1924 to 1927. Pastor of the First Baptist Church of Richmond, Virginia from 1936 till 1968. Now Pastor Emeritus of the First Baptist Church of Richmond, Virginia since 1968. And it was also in that same year, in 1968, that he was asked to join the faculty at Southeastern Seminary as visiting professor of preaching, and later was asked to serve the school as counselor to students. Dr. Adams graduated from Denison University in Granville, Ohio, with a BA degree in 1921, from Rochester Theological Seminary with a BD degree in 1924, from the University of Richmond, now listen to this, from the University of Richmond, a Doctor of Divinity in 1938, from the University of Denison, University of Doctor of Divinity in 1940, from the College of William and Mary, a Doctor of Divinity in 1940, from Baylor University, a Doctor of Divinity in 1958, from Washington and Lee, a Doctor of Divinity in 1958, from Stetson University, a Doctor of Divinity in 1959, an LHD from Hampton, Sydney in 1959, a DD, a Doctor of Divinity from McMaster's University in 1962, an LLD from Keuka College in 1964, and a Doctor of Divinity from Wake Forest University in 1968. The reason we're not giving him the picture is he ain't got nowhere to hang it. Got all those degrees. So we're gonna keep it here at our place. He too has written, published widely, Making Your Marriage Succeed by Harper, Making the Most of What Life Brings, Tell Me How, Baptists Around the World, The Living Christ in the Life of Today, Faith of Our Fathers Living Still, Best Sermons of 44, Best Sermons of 45, Mighty Beginnings, The Christian Faith in Action, Southern Baptist Preaching Christ for the World, A Way Home, among others. Dr. Adams has been elected to Phi Beta Kappa, Omicron Kappa Delta. He received the Brotherhood Award for the National Conference of Christian and Jews and has been dubbed as the most Jewish Christian or the most Christian Jew around. He received the Upper Room Citation for International Leadership, the Optimist International Service Award, the Knight of the Order of African Republican of Liberia. An entire nation paid him honor. Dr. Adams has lectured widely at Southern, Midwestern, Golden Gate, and the Perkins School of Theology, and as you well know, is leaving on deposit here in his honor the Theodore F. Adams lectureships on preaching and the practice of ministry. In addition to that legacy, we will leave here for all time this portrait. Dr. Adams, would you and Esther please stand? Somehow I'm reminded of some words I read early here at this school, and every day I think I've lived, I've found them to be very true. The word is that even a dwarf on a giant's shoulder sees farther of the two. I hope that is true here, and if we in any way distance the vision of these three, we will have been singularly blessed. In this same context today, we thought it appropriate, since we have not made a public presentation of the portrait, to bear attention to the fact that for some time there's been hanging alongside the picture of her husband, the portrait of Mrs. George Mackey. Mrs. Mackey, as you well know, is in more ways than we could ever enumerate a benefactress of this school. She's been a part of our fellowship, a part of our reason for being from the very earliest years of our school. And her husband, who served the college, later served the seminary as the physician to all of us, served us with distinction. And Kathleen, since your picture is not new to us, nor is your presence new to us, we're simply presenting it And I wanted you to stand and let us welcome you and celebrate with you this happy day. Tuesday evening at 11 o'clock, at 8 o'clock p.m. here in Binkley Chapel, seminary choir with the assistance of professional orchestra members from the Raleigh Symphony and others will sing Brahms' Requiem. The choir has determined that the Requiem will be sung in memory of our esteemed colleague Raymond Bryan Brown, who died on December 16, 1977. This picture has been on display for those of you who have seen it in the rotunda of Staley Hall for some time, but we have never publicly acknowledged the impact of this person on our lives associated with the continuous display of his likeness. So please let me share with you, as a prelude to the Requiem, which will be sung in his honor, some other bits of information about our former dean, esteemed colleague, Raymond Bryan Brown, who served this school as Distinguished Professor of New Testament Interpretation. Dr. Brown was born in Winfield, Louisiana. He achieved his education with an A.B. degree from Louisiana State University, a B.D. from Yale University Divinity School, and also a Master of Theology from Yale University Divinity School, and a Ph.D. degree from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary with a major in New Testament. Dr. Brown has done postdoctoral studies as a visiting scholar at the University of Tübingen in Germany. He too came to us out of his pastoral background. He was a pastor at the Beth Carr Baptist Church in Halifax, Virginia for 2 years, assistant professor of pastor of the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia for 5 years, and then he joined the faculty of the University of Richmond, where he was the assistant professor of Bible and Religion from 1952 to 1955. He moved from there to become Associate Professor of New Testament Interpretation at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, where he served for 4 years. Then in 1964, Dr. Brown joined our faculty here at Southeastern as Professor of New Testament Interpretation from 1964 until his death. During that tenure here, however, from 66 to 74, Dr. Brown served the school as Academic Dean. In 1973, his colleagues designated him as Distinguished Professor of New Testament Interpretation, a title and a task he pursued until the very day of his death. And he died, as you know, while preparing to come to this school to continue his teaching task by giving final examinations on the very last day of classes in the fall semester a year ago. Dr. Brown was a member of the Historical Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. He spoke extensively at Ridgecrest, Eagle Eye, Caswell, United States Air Force retreats, and Bible lectures in various colleges and churches. He, too, was an author of consequence. He authored 1 Corinthians and Broadman Bible Commentary. He was the author of The Study of the New Testament, published in 2 volumes by Broadman in 1965. He was the co-editor of Professor in the Pulpit, the Bible editor of the Encyclopedia of Southern Baptists, and he had articles to appear in numerous publications, among them The Baptist Program, The Adult Bible Teacher, Sunday School Builder, Religious Herald, Brotherhood Journal, Review and Expositor, and Encyclopedia of Southern Baptists. Dr. Brown held membership in the Society of Biblical Literature, Association of Baptist Professors of Religion, Phi Beta Kappa, Omicron Delta Kappa. He was elected to the Outstanding Educators of America in 1974, to the Men of Achievement, American Scholars Who's Who in Religion, and the Dictionary of International Biography. Dr. Brown was married happily to Carolee Nelson. They have 2 children, Bonnie Nancy, who is now Mrs. Stephen Gay III, and Helen Ann. This community has honored itself by retaining and being constantly reminded of the memory of this outstanding human being in our midst. I wish you would stand with me for a moment of silence in his memory, and then sing with me as our choral benediction, verse 1 of hymn 33. May we stand.